Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
So glad that you're with us this weekend. We want to welcome you from all of our campuses. Welcome to here in Tacoma, in Bellevue, in DuPont, online campus. So glad that you joined us. Thank you for being here and a part this weekend. We have just had on this weekend, we've had a getaway with a special group in our church. They are called our Legacy Team. And many of you don't know about the Legacy Team. They are the people in our church who resource the vision of our house by giving above and beyond their tithe. So when you look around and you're thankful for what we have as a church in our buildings, in our property, and some of the things that are extra, that we have, maybe just even in kids' classrooms and some of that experience, as you're thankful for that, maybe say a prayer for all of our legacy team, that God would bless them and bless their businesses and just remember that there are some people who are giving above and beyond to make a difference and to help us move church forward. And so we had an exciting time. If I'm a little bit like giddy today, it's because some big things happened and some great things happened, and I just found out about it at the getaway that we're going to share when the time is right. But the bottom line is that our church is so blessed, and we are so thankful. And I am so grateful as the pastor of this church that God's hand is on us and that He is with us, and we are moving forward and we are taking new territory. Amen. So you may be seated today. You've heard us talk about this weekend, perhaps, the title of a new series. It is called WTF. WTF. And look at your neighbor and say, wonder what that is. So there's been a lot of people who are curious, and they've wondered since we started announcing the title of the series, and people are, making... they're waging coffee on it. I think it's going to be this. I think it's going to be that. We hit the streets and asked some people on the streets what they think WTF stands for. Have a look at this.
Hey, everyone. We're so excited about this new series that is kicking off, and it's entitled WTF. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to hit the streets, and we're going to see what people think these three letters stand for. So let's go do this. What comes to mind when you think of this?
I mean, obviously a bad word. I'm not going to say it because it has everything to do with church, but...
What's the first thing that comes to mind? I'm trying to be PG right now.
What's the future?
What's the future? That's a good guess. What do you think?
What the facts?
What the facts? Okay.
Well, no comment. I don't want to say what...
You don't got to say that, but what do you think we're saying when we say that?
Words.
Where the food at and where the food?
I know what it stands for.
What do you think this stands for?
Worship the Father.
Now, just curious, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about that?
What the
Okay, I can assure you that that is not what our series is called, but what do you think it could be?
With the faith?
With the faith.
What... The Frank.
What the Frank?
Where the females at again?
Where the females at?
Where's the fun?
Where is the fun? Katie, why don't you come find out this Sunday at Champion Center, because the fun is there right across the street, okay? All right, thank you so much.
How many of you know it's okay to have fun in church? WTF stands for why? Trust feelings. Why trust feelings? Now, I'm really excited about this series because I believe that we're going to help a lot of people to know how to identify and separate yourself from feelings that pose as an ally in your life, but are actually your enemy. In fact, next weekend, that's really what I want to talk about, is how to separate yourself from the things that you feel. I'm going to talk to you and help you understand that you are not your feelings, but that's next week. Everybody say, my heart's open. My mind's ready. Make me better, God, by your word. I receive it, and I believe it, and I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name. So here's where we start. I just want to announce this. You have no good reason to trust your feelings. You have no good reason to trust your feelings. Everybody has feelings, and there's nothing wrong with having feelings. Feelings mean that we're human. From the moment you wake up in the morning, you will experience feelings. We love feeling good, don't we? Anybody with me on that? Love feeling good. We love having the good vibes. But we hate feeling bad. The problem comes when we start treating feelings as if they are facts. Feelings are not facts. They're feelings. Feelings are real, but they are not reality. Getting really quiet. Processing here, aren't we? Feelings are fickle. They change from day to day. It can be as simple as a change in the weather that affects how you feel, or who you're with, or what song is playing, what circumstances you're facing. You can feel great in the morning and not so good by afternoon. Like, you can feel like a warrior at church and a wimp at home. Can we talk today? So in my own life, I've just noticed that, you know, I go through seasons and I go through times, and I've got to the point where I started asking myself this question. Now I just want to include you in the conversation, because I want us to take a step back, and I want us to all start asking ourselves, why trust feelings? If feelings were a person, you wouldn't trust them. If feelings was a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you would break up with them. They are not dependable. They lie to you. They tear you down. They tear other people down. And if you trust them, they will ruin your day, mess up your week, and destroy your life. I'm talking about feelings. I'm talking about feelings. Some of you, this is the one thing. Everybody shout one thing. Because I really believe this. I felt like that got dropped into my spirit as I was preparing for the weekend. There was this something that said, Kevin, this is the one thing that some people that are going to be here and are going to hear this message this weekend, this is the one thing that is separating them from what I have planned for them, and the things that they really want in their heart. Is that they trust their feelings way too much. They have way too much confidence in their feelings. And what you're going to talk about, Kevin, is that one thing, that one element. If they could get this weekend, then it would change their life. The antidote for trusting feelings is found in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And it reads like this. It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And then the verse goes on. And we get to this point, if you know this verse, we'll usually do it like this. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And then we might even go on from there, but we rush past that that heart part. And I want to pause right there because the heart is where feelings try to negotiate and influence our action. Like people will even say, it's kind of the end thing to say, and maybe some of you have said this and haven't really qualified it, and that is that people tell you, like, follow your heart, go with your gut. And that is not always good advice, because some people think that you're telling them to go with their feelings. So we got to define, when we're talking that way, what are we talking about? Like, are we talking about divine guidance? Then yes. Are we talking about innate intelligence? Then yes. But if we're talking about feelings, then no. That can be dangerous to go with your feelings. And there is a difference. And maybe that's some of what we'll get into in this series, is that there is a difference in what we would call innate intelligence. It's very real. Innate intelligence is very real. And divine guidance is very real. But there are things that divine guidance will not tell you to do. Innate intelligence will not tell you to do, that feelings will tell you to do. So there's a differentiation in those things and feelings. I mean, every parent, even the best parents, have had moments where you felt like choking your child. That's a little, I know. Our campus pastor here in Tacoma is a mom, and she said, "Pastor, that was a little bit strong." Like, okay, well, I got their attention. But we've all felt, I think parents have felt that way. You know, there's moments where you wanted to stop the car, you want to get out, you're going to get in that back seat, we're going to do business right now. Like, it's feelings. And then you get on the other side of that, and you're going, "Thank you, Jesus, I didn't know what I felt like doing, thank you." You might have a great job, but there have been days when you were like, I'm gonna just let them know right now. I'm gonna let them know how I feel. Like, you take this job, you shove this job, like, I'm out of here. And then you're thankful that afternoon you didn't do what you felt like. Am I talking right today? Am I talking right? So I want you to know that the heart is where feelings assert themselves. And if they gain our trust at a heart level, just like they insert themselves, they try to gain our trust, and if they do, they influence our beliefs and they control our actions. Feelings constantly negotiate your actions. But when you live by faith, you don't negotiate based on feelings. There's a guy in the Bible, a prophet actually, his name is Habakkuk, and I want to show you, he was having a really tough season in his life, and he writes about it. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine." Now remember, this is like a farmer, this is like an agricultural dependent individual here for his crops, for his cattle, his sheep. This is how he survives, this is how he lives. He says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vine, the olive crop fails, the fields produce no food, and you thought you were having a bad week." Look at this. "There are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stall." And then he hits that next line, and then it's like, boom. "Yet I will. Yet I will. Yet I will. Yet I will." Now that is not normal. The normal thing you feel when you're in that situation is not what he is doing right there. He's doing something different than feelings would tell him to do. Are you understanding? He says, "Yet I will rejoice." Wait a minute, Habakkuk, do you not understand? This is a tough time in your life. Like, do you not, like, this is crazy. This is maybe even God's forsaken you. Like, da-da-da-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. He's like, "No, yet I will. I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to be joyful on the hard days, in the tough season. I will be joyful in God, my Savior." Somebody shout, "Yet I will." Say it again. Say, "Yet I will." Look at your neighbor and tell them, "Yet I will." Now, I know that's King James lingo, but I think it's a good way to, like, to say, "Today I am determined, and yet I will. And even though that's going on, yet I will. Yet I will." See, you have to have a "yet I will" mindset when you live by faith. Because the minute you decide to act, your feelings will start to plot against you and talk you out of what you have decided in your heart to do. Like your feelings, they come around, negotiate way down on the inside of you. And they'll say things like, yeah, I know you were going to start eating healthy and exercising in 2019, but you don't feel like that, do you? You don't feel like it today. I mean, not today. Not today. You could always start tomorrow. I know you said you were going to tithe on everything God gives you and trust Him and all that stuff, but have you looked at your checkbook lately? Like, do you really feel like it? Can I remind you that you won't have enough money for yourself if you do that? Like, the feeling part of you works against the action part of you, is what I'm trying to tell you. And the things you really want to do and feel called to do, your feelings will engage that desire you have in your heart. And they sabotage us. Because what they do is they undermine what we want to act on. And then when they talk us out of the action, then we don't take the action. And then the other feelings back them up that are called regret and shame and guilt. And you blew it. And those feelings, then they march behind the first group of feet and they just keep on hammering away. I'm telling you, you decide to read your Bible. If you decide to go on a Bible reading program, I promise you it'll be a day or two in and you will not feel like it. If you decide, I'm going to stop thinking about me and I'm going to start thinking about other people, I'm going to start encouraging other people, the minute you start heading that direction, something will say, yeah, but you're having a sucky time right now yourself. Like, you don't have no encouragement to go around. No, you don't feel like that right now. Wait till you feel better. I'm going to leave here this week, and I'm going to go call my friend, and I'm going to tell them, I'm going to say, hey, I want you to come to church with me next weekend. I want you to come. My pastor's we're in a series right now. I know you're going to love it. You're going to help it. I'm going to leave here. I'm going to go. I'm going to do that. And you drive home. When are you going to do that? I'm going to do that later. And then I'll do it tomorrow. And then pretty soon you the feelings talk you out of what you intended to do. Can we talk right now? And it's amazing how these feelings, we're going to go through a variety of conversation in the way that feelings will come against what you have desired in your heart for your life and for your future. I have an image of a pastor that I want to be. And I have a desire to be a father, a certain kind of father, and a certain husband. That I have this desire. This is the man I want to be. And I got to tell you that I have to fight feelings. I have to deal with that. Some days my feelings talk me out of the right action toward who I want to be. I'm not any different than you are when it comes to being human. And my feelings have negotiated with me. And they've talked me out of being on that day where I was going. I've had to recover. I've had to say, Kevin, why do you trust those feelings? WTF. Like, if you're thinking today you're just trying to get us a little bit riled up, I am. You're right. I want you to go to the mirror when you don't feel like doing what you're supposed to do. I want you to look at yourself and say, WTF. You, I'm talking to you, WTF. My question for you, WTF. And I'd even love it if you start helping your husband or wife, with their permission, of course. We got a short, quick, snappy way to say, don't let that, don't trust. That's a feeling. Because you're not going to feel, I want to just tell you guys, you're going to be offended in life and you're not going to feel like letting go of it. And your feelings are going to come along and say, yeah, but They did that. I mean, nobody knows how you feel. I know they talk to you about at church about letting go of offenses, and I know, but they don't know. They don't understand that, and your feelings will talk you out of a thing called forgiveness. And so it goes from like really, really basic life stuff, just aspirations. There's some of you, like you don't like a messy house. But your house gets messy, and then it stays messy longer than you want it to stay messy because your feelings keep talking you out of cleaning up the house. your car, like, you know, you're riding around with old McDonald's bags in the car, like, man, stale bread in the floor. And so I'm telling you, Dodge shouldn't be treating my car like this. And then, but it's feeling. I don't want to stop by the vacuum thing today and go to the car wash. And feeling. And there's some things that are really important for you to decide in your life on the way that you're going to live your life and the way you're going to face temptation and the way you're going to deal with challenges. And those things are very important to your progress and to what you achieve and to what you accomplish. And you have that dream and you have that vision. You have from little things, small things, everyday things, to really big, large ambitions and desires for your life. And your feelings are not your friend. I said your feelings are not your friend. Your feelings is your enemy. And your feelings will negotiate and try to talk you out. Some of you might say, well, but what about good feelings? Yeah, they'll... Great. Embrace the good ones and let them work for you. When they work for you, they'll carry you. They'll be good. But just remember that you don't trust feelings of any kind. And just to quickly say, I don't want to go too far into the details of it, but sometimes people do feel good and the facts in front of them are telling them you need to make a deposit in the bank or your check's going to bounce. And some people have such a distorted view of wisdom and life that they will allow feeling to lie to them and tell them to not just do good practical things that they need to do. So when they're working in your favor, that's more like what I talked about earlier. And there's a way to learn, and hopefully I can help you to separate it. But I'm talking about the emotions that you and I, we're all over the place. Human beings have emotions that are working not for us, but against us. And they are working against your greatest dreams, and they are working against your greatest desire. And if you are young and you're in the house and you're a teenager, you're a young adult, one of the things you need to learn to do is not be led by your feelings. We are led by faith. We are people of faith. We don't just sing about it, we walk it out. We walk by faith and not by sight. And that's how we win. That's how we win in life. Going to church, for example, is a very important part of living an overcoming, consistent, strong Christian life and having the kind of family dynamics and legacy that in your heart you want to have. But I promise you that, like we've experienced the last few weeks, there will be days where it'll be so cold that your feelings are going to tell you it's too cold and it's too snowy and you don't feel like getting out in this today. And then other days you're going to open up the window and it's going to be too sunny, too warm, and too bright. You don't feel like going to church today, like there's other options available. You don't feel. And when you give place to feelings, they will take advantage of you. Like, and you'll give in on one, and then you better watch out, because when you soften the line of your decisions of how you're going to live and what is first in your life and what you're going to do in the morning when you wake up, and what you will do at night before you go to bed, and what will happen in that 18-hour span, when you start softening that and compromising, you'll find that you compromise then more often, and then you compromise more often, and you'll begin to just be led astray. But faith is staying focused on our priorities, even when we don't feel like it. That's what faith is, staying focused even when we don't feel like it. And thinking about the church and honoring our time in the house of God, I was reminded of Chick-fil-A, the fast food store, and it's owned by a Christian family. And years ago, the founder of Chick-fil-A made a decision to close business on Sunday. And even though they have been closed on Sunday, they have managed to do very well. I mean, let me show you the extreme of their decision. The Super Bowl this year was played in Atlanta in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and there is a Chick-fil-A in the stadium. They were closed on Super Bowl Sunday. Now, we can all go crazy. Something wrong, and people are stupid. Like, we could even, like, right now be, oh my God, that is. But wait a minute. They made a decision based on principle, not based on an opportunity, not based on what they might feel in a certain based on a principle that they believe that if they would give people Sunday off and in that way honor the Lord just by doing that, that the Lord would bless their business. And they founded their business on the principle, not the feeling, the principle. So here's the facts. Chick-fil-A earns more per store than any other restaurant. Not by a little bit, but per unit, and the last stats I have are 2017, per unit, Chick-fil-A made around over $4 million per unit. By contrast, McDonald's, who was second, made $2.6 million per unit. Starbucks was down underneath $1 million per unit. And that's taking one day off. So that's taking one, are you thinking with me here today? That's taking one day off. Now, I don't know how they've wrestled with that. I don't know if there were conversations approaching Super Bowl. Like, oh, come on, not going to matter. I don't know. But I could assume that somewhere in their leadership, in their corporation, there have been days where they just felt like, man, all of that money that we are saying no to, like there's a lot of money lost by taking one day off. Like, I can only imagine there were feelings that have tried to sidetrack them from the principle with which they began. And I'm just wanting to say to you today, that's the nature of our feelings. And none of us who are Bible-believing, Christ followers, committed to Christ, want to ever let our feelings take us away from the principles of faith that we are embracing in our own life. Because God will bless. I said, God will bless. I said, God will bless. I mentioned tithing a while ago. Many, many people would testify to the fact of how hard it is sometimes to actually tithe. And those same people will tell you, but since I've been tithing, I can tell you, I don't know how it works, but my life has gone farther on 90% than it ever went on 100%. You can't always explain it. Your feelings are going to try to talk you out of what God has planned for your life. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Am I helping anybody? So you can't always control feelings, but you can decide your actions. That's great. You might want to write that one down. When the alarm goes off in the morning, you can't control the fact that you're going to feel like staying in the bed. Like, it happens so fast. You're like, oh, man, wow, I felt like I just laid down. First feeling, you can't control that. But you can decide to get up strong. You can't control your feeling. We're not here to condemn anyone for feelings. I'd be right in the line with you, man. My feelings sometimes that I have, you know, I just, the feelings that come my way, I just, like, man, no. And I'm like you. I understand. You can't control a feeling, but we can decide our action. And we need to just mount up on that with strength and confidence. In Ecclesiastes, the wisest man who ever lived, he wrote this. He talked about, and let's think again through the agricultural nature of this writing, but he said this. He said, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." And what he's saying is what I'm telling you. The one who is waiting for the right moment and just goes out and, depending on the circumstances, the farmer decides whether or not I'm going to actually, you know, get up early and go out and put seed in the ground. And the one who lives his life that way, he says he's not going to reap. He's not going to have the harvest he really wants to have in his life. And then he commands two verses later, verse 6, he says, "So in the morning, sow your seed." Like, in the morning, get after it. "And at evening, withhold not your hand." Like, your feelings are going to go, it's not going to do any good. Like, just sleep a little longer. Like, don't worry. You're feelings. And pretty soon, your life is deteriorating. And some of you know what I'm talking about because you've allowed that to happen. And today, I'm here to inspire you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to remind you that you have the ability to decide your action. God given you this ability. And don't withhold your hand, the writer says. You just get out there. You don't know what meeting matters, and you don't know what conversation is going to count. And you don't know when you look back, you know, 3 weeks from now, like, you're not going to know which workout was really important because each and every one of them mattered. Like, you're not going to be able to differ, but you made decisions, and now look what's happening because of the decisions that you made in your life. So just get up and go, and don't hesitate. Don't let feelings have an opportunity. Maybe some of you have heard of the 5-second rule. No, wait a minute. I'm not talking about the one where you drop food and you have 5 seconds to pick it up. That's not the one that I'm referring to. What I'm talking about is the rule where you have the opportunity within 5 seconds to act instead of hesitating. Wow. Within 5 seconds, you have the opportunity to take action, but if you hesitate and give your feelings a chance, they will talk you out of something you've decided to do. And there's science behind this that says that our brains are wired to assume literally that we are in danger when we hesitate. So the science is that when you just hesitate, you hesitate out of feeling, that everything within you all of a sudden goes on this rally cry, and you are more unlikely now to act when you get past the 5-second window, because there's all these internal buttons being pushed in your brain saying, no, watch out, don't, hold on, oh, wait, hold on, no, don't, wait. And it's like it builds up this wall or this barrier between you and what you have intended to do. Yeah. Yeah. And what you plan to do. And that image you had in your mind of the person that you are aspiring with God's help to be, and then you're hesitant, and it's like, then you start feeling defeated. So the idea behind the 5-second rule is to outsmart your brain by acting versus hesitating. Act versus hesitate. Like, be fast about it. You want to harvest? You want to harvest? Like, you might have to, like, you, in the morning, like WTF, boom, up out of bed. No, WTF, I'm not, just like, why trust feelings? Why trust feelings? I don't trust feelings. I'm not going to trust feelings. Feelings are not what I walk by. Faith is what I walk by. Walking by faith, not by feeling. In the name of the Lord, right now, don't even pause. Don't even hesitate. And go toward the thing you have decided in your heart to do. And that's how great futures are lived and experienced. That's how people become great in life. That's the difference between the winner and the loser. Come on, that's the difference, is people of action. So through the series, I'm just going to encourage everybody that you will not allow yourself to feel ashamed, but you will take an opposition to the feelings and understand that the feelings are not you. You are not your feelings. I said, you are not your feelings. And that many great people, including Jesus, dealt with feelings. And we're going to look how to win, how to overcome. Come on, how to be champion, how to defeat the feelings that come to defeat us. Amen. Let's give the Lord a great big hand, can't we?
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give, or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.